Blog Talk Radio.
Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Well, spring has definitely sprung here. You know, every week I talk about beautiful Southern California. And do you know why? Because I want to beam to you mind pictures of sunlight and flowers and mild weather. How can you not shift to a better feeling place while thinking of paradise? Even in the winter, you can still experience spring. Remember, paradise only exists within your mind. It's yours to experience anytime you wish. Well, we have got a fascinating show for you tonight. It's all about crop circles. So what does crop circles have to do with the law of attraction? A bunch. Stay tuned for information that will rock your world. Let me introduce you to this incredible new magazine called The Edge. This monthly publication explores humankind's greatest truth of self-empowerment through the evolution of consciousness, alternative healing, and the experience of an authentic life through holistic living. Fortunately for us, it's now online as the Digital Edge magazine, in which we can access the complete printed edition on screen. Go there. Bookmark it and keep going back, because The Edge is a valuable resource in sharing leading edge wisdom. It's also my favorite. So visit The Edge at soulofthecities.net. That's soulofthecities.net. Hi there, Jules here. I want to recommend a product that I feel is so important to the physical and mental well-being of the entire world. Whatever you do, remember this name, BeyondHealth.com. BeyondHealth.com's founder is Raymond Francis, a MIT-trained scientist that has written an incredible life-saving book called Never Be Sick Again. You must buy this book because the quality of your life absolutely depends on it. On top of that, Raymond created one of the highest rated supplements in the world that are so powerful we can eradicate cancer, obesity, high blood pressure, literally all forms of disease. I have personally tried these products and felt the wonderful effects within the first 24 hours. Whether you have cancer or the common cold, BeyondHealth.com can help get you well, stay well, and never be sick again. So always remember the name BeyondHealth.com and visit their site often. That's BeyondHealth.com. Come aboard to Law of Attraction Radio Network's Cruise to Transformation 2010. The last cruise was so powerful, we wanted to bring forth the energy once again to heal and completely transform you into being the magnificent manifester that you are here to be. We have 8 exceptional interactive workshops that will heal you, transform you, and give you great insight to your authentic self. Dee Wallace is returning by popular demand, as well as the most incredible and documented energy healer, Amin Habib, who transforms and emits powerful healing energy to us all. We have law of attraction experts, EFT experts, relationship experts, and hypnosis experts ready to help you to transform your life. So come along and enjoy this most affordable and luxurious event. This 4-night cruise is May 31st through June 4th out at the Port of Long Beach. Visit the cruise page at loaradionetwork.com. Think you can't afford this? Oh, yes, you can, because you are a magnificent Manifester. See you on May 31st.
And we are back. I want to give a shout out to Ryan Donahue out of beautiful Wisconsin, who hunted down my phone number so that he could suggest Dr. Darren Wiseman as a guest for my show. So Ryan, even though Dr. Wiseman is currently in Australia, he wanted me to let you know that he is looking forward to our interview on April 25th. And we're going to be talking about the power of infinite love and gratitude and how to awaken the secret code of your mind, which happens to be the title of his latest book. So thank you, Ryan, for not only a delightful conversation, but also for requesting such a fabulous guest. Also, I've got a great show coming up next Sunday. You are not going to want to miss this. If you've never heard of Ann Taylor, well, get ready, because this is going to change your life. Ann is a tremendous energy healer who releases blocks of genetic imprints through prayer. Dr. Bernie Siegel endorses Ann wholeheartedly. The theme for next Sunday's show is the conscious mindset of multimillionaires, and all who listen to the show will start releasing the genetic imprints that have kept us from experiencing our wealth. Can't listen to the live show? Well, that's not a problem. These are prayers and energy which will work every time you listen to the archive show. So you will want to download the show, play it back as much as you can, or give it to your friends and family. We will have callers to ask questions, and as Anne heals them, the rest of us will get healed at the same time, because our issues are almost identical. You know, I had a personal session with Anne, and I was absolutely amazed. I had an immediate effect from our session. And all I can tell you is you're going to love it. So tune in next Sunday, which is March 14th, or download the show and listen to it as much as you can. And by the way, don't forget that we only have 2 more weeks to sign up for the Cruise to Transformation, in which we can give you the same low rates, because after April 1st, they're going to go up. So listen to Sunday's show, let the miracles happen, and come aboard, because you all deserve 4 days of pure bliss, and I want to meet you all. Okay, one last thing. We have 2 new wonderful shows that are starting on the network that I want to introduce you to. First one is Everyday Attraction with Ray Zander. This show is fantastic as she explores the teachings of Abraham Hicks. I know you're going to love this show as much as I do, and Ray, for that matter, who is always in the vortex. So tune into that. And then Marguerite Manning is going to have her own show starting the first week of April. She deals with karmic astrology, and she has been such a huge hit on my show that she's decided to do a show of her own. As always, stay tuned into being a conscious creator 24/7 by listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com. Okay, so let's get on with tonight's fascinating show. Our guest is Suzanne Taylor, producer and director of the really informative DVD called What on Earth?, which is all about the beautiful mystery of crop circles. Intricate designs in crops turn up in farmers' field overnight. Although they have appeared throughout the world for many years, no one knows where they come from or why they arrive. For 15 years, Suzanne Taylor has been part of this lively community of visionary artists, scientists, philosophers, geometers, and farmers who are drawn to England. So get ready for some fascinating information on this incredible phenomenon. Welcome, Suzanne, to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Happy to be here.
So, Suzanne, let's get down to basics here. What made you decide to film a DVD based on crop circles?
Well, you know, I'm not a filmmaker who found a subject. I'm a subject that went out looking to make a film about it. I've been involved in this phenomenon since the 80s. And at some point, I decided that my life mission, that might be different from all the other good things I do, but that might really be something I could do that most people, hardly anybody, nobody else could do, would be to create a film that would bring this subject to the attention of the world, or that I would bring the subject to the attention of the world, and the way to do it, how do you do that in this world? You make a movie. So, you know, I really have gone from producing a lot of events and projects on many different subjects that had to do with law of attraction and all the different kinds of New Age ideas, expansion of consciousness, change of worldview. But gradually over the years, I have sort of shed most of those others because, as I say, I think I could make a unique contribution here. Most people, you know, don't know about the crop circles where they know about a lot of those other subjects. And because I was so steeped in it, I thought, well, this is mine to do. I subtitled it Inside the Crop Circle Mystery because I'm kind of drawing you into this world that I'm so planted in, as opposed to more traditional documentary, which is sort of like Talking Heads. You're watching something. Somebody's interviewing people from off camera. Well, I'm sitting there with them, with my friends. They're all my friends who are in this. And they're comfortable with me. They know me well. We're schmoozing, you know. And the camera is catching us. And that's the film I wanted to be made that took me two films to get it out there. So that's the current film, What on Earth Inside the Crop Circle Mystery.
So tell us, what is so important about these crop circles?
Right. That, of course, is the perfect question. The reason that I sort of shed the other things, which occasionally I still do, and focused on the circles is because I thought it could change the world faster than anything else. Everything we're doing is changing the world, us people, you know. Us. I think there's two worlds going on, the people who don't know ours and ours. So for sure, you know, things have to go our way. We have to become aware of our wholeness. We have to become aware of the fundamental kind of consciousness that the universe is comprised of. That it's not just a monetary, economic, dog-eat-dog world out there, but that there's something much more profound going on. And, of course, we're all tuning ourselves into that lifetime of work, many lifetimes of work. But in the meantime, the world's in this terrible shape. And unless we change the way we see the world collectively, unless we change our worldview, we're just going to get more of the same. It's fingers in the dike to fix all the things that challenge us so profoundly that even our very survival is challenged. So what could there be that, you know, quickly could get the world into a different place? That's a very, very challenging thing. The gears are very meshed in any social system. How do you uproot the very fundamentals? Well, I don't know anything that can do this except the awareness that we are not the only intelligence in the universe.
So are you saying that the crop circles are made from extraterrestrials?
Not necessarily. We don't actually know what's delivering these. We've made up the idea of ETs, or I shouldn't say we've made it up, but it's not proved, so to speak. Who knows what's delivering these? And people speculate it's coming from another dimension, it's coming from the future coming back to us, it's coming from inside. Whatever it's coming from, there's intelligence and it's embodied because it's doing creative kinds of design things, and that's got to be something embodied. But is it extraterrestrials, or is there another dimension out there? Or, you know, we just don't know. So we never say, those of us who are quite plugged into the circle phenomenon, we never tell you what's making them. We just say it's not us, as someone in the film says, not us. So whatever, you know, something is intelligent. It's even more intelligent than we are because it's visiting us and we're not visiting it. And, you know, once we realize that, we are one humanity in relation to the other. There's nothing to relate to now. It's all us. So here we are, turned on each other, vicious to one another, using up the earth. But once we have our sights in this larger purview where we see ourselves as one piece of something much larger than that, I mean, first of all, it would humble us, and wouldn't that be good?
Yes, but tell us, what proof do you have that it's not man-made?
Well, the most obvious proof or the most telling proof comes from science, which is what we respect and think, you know, is reality. And there is science that's been done on the plants and on the soil from inside crop circles, very, very carefully done with scientific protocols. There's the material inside, and then there's the material outside that hasn't been affected, the control material, and very expensive studies. In fact, Lawrence Rockefeller was funding this for a while before he died. He was a wonderful funder of, you know, things out of the ordinary. And the studies have been written up in peer-reviewed science journals. I mean, that's where we get our truth from. And the studies indicate that there is no way that the changes to the plants and the changes to the soil can be, and yet there they are. So we have a, quote, mystery. But what is to account for this except that it's not us? I mean, we have no way to produce those changes.
What happens to the soil? Is it energy? What do you mean?
It's not energy. It's changes to the actual, in the case of the soil, it's the crystalline structure of the soil, which I guess is chemistry, there was a fabulous study done, and it turned out that the surface soil in a crop circle is not found on Earth. In the one that they studied, is not found on Earth. In fact, it would be comparable, the crystalline structure of it would be comparable to what you might find way down deep where the pressure from the top and the heat from the bottom has cooked the soil for millions of years, and that's the crystalline structure that was in the surface soil in this crop circle. No way to account for it.
Center of the Earth kind of thing, I guess.
Well, that's where you would have found that kind of crystalline structure. You didn't find that on the surface of the Earth, and that there it was. In fact, in the film, we go in some length to show you the physical evidence that you would find when a hoaxer has made a crop circle, and you see the crimping from the boards that they use. There are crimp marks. That's the first thing people do when they go in. They look for the crimp marks because the board catches the crop, and the edge of the board makes little white lines, and you bend down, you look, do I have these lines going across the crop field in 3-foot wide sections, which is how the width of the boards that they use. But you know that the world of that also has been studied in the labs, and we do a little bit in the film about the various results that have been gotten in the science labs other than that crystalline structure. I told you the changes to the plants and to the soil. The changes to the plants are in the cell structure of the wheat or grain, whatever. And also you've got nodal changes. The shafts of grain are pieces that are connected by nodes, and the nodes either bend over in right angles. That's the famous thing you've seen about crop circles where they don't break but bend. Well, they don't bend that way. You've got plants that are as brittle as celery, and they don't bend over, but they do. And then you've got that's in green crop, they'll stretch and bend that way. But in the dry crop toward the end of the season, if that's when the formation arrives, it's very brittle, and as the energy goes up through the shaft, there's no place to bend, there's nothing to do, so it blows holes. We show you that in the film. We call them blown nodes, so the nodes get these hole explosion holes in them. And that's another of the evidence that it's the real ones. The ones made by people don't have that sort of thing in them. But the genuine, I mean, that's showing you that there's, you know, genuine stuff going on that we can't do, that the material doesn't behave that way.
In the film, you mentioned that the crop circles often have mathematical equations to them.
Well, they're designed with very brilliant geometry, really brilliant. I mean, beyond the capacity of the best geometers, actually, the new ideas that they introduce, how they translate something into a field, like one of the pattern groups that they work with is fractals, ever since 1996 when the first fractal pattern arrived outside of Stonehenge. And ever since then, we've had every year or whenever, there's other patterns that are designed with this mathematical idea of fractals. And it's a very clever translation of how they've taken a math formula and made an artistic rendition of it in a crop field. And there are brilliant geometers that work on analyzing these things. There's a real core of people who are very interested in this phenomenon, and they write the books about it, they take the pictures, they do the lectures, whatever. And they will tell you that they are just floored by the brilliance of the translation of ideas into patterns in crop fields, where when you say, well, could you make something as brilliant as that? And what they say is, you know, once an idea is introduced, we could make variations on it, design variations on it, and, you know, the actual design itself, not laying it down, but the design itself. But, you know, the new ideas that they introduce, they just slay us. We really are, they're beyond us, and we're just in awe. So whatever is doing this has, you know, a real capacity. In fact, you know, there are geometric theorems that are now in our literature. They've gone into our math books that were derived in the early 90s from the crop circle patterns. The head of the astronomy department at Boston University, a man named Gerald Hawkins, and we show this in the film, he derived 5 new theorems that were expressed in the geometry of crop circles that are now in our literature. They weren't in it before.
Could these be messages to us?
Well, now that's another big question. What's the point of them, really? There's a lot of information in them that we readily recognize. They're using our symbols, or when we're going to have an eclipse, they'll send something down that's like the eclipse. I show one in the film that has the orbital relationship of the planets that will be coming up in 2012. In a crop circle that was, you know, had rings and planets on it that came in 2008. So they're saying, we read you, we see you, we recognize you, we know your symbols. Sometimes they write, quote, messages. They use ASCII code and they press it down into the fields, and our brilliant interpreters over there will read it and go, hey, that's ASCII code. We'll translate that, and they get a little message out of it. So, yes. There's lots of messages in them, but then the bigger question is, what's the message? What's the point, you know? Why are they doing this? What is the overriding message? And, you know, some people think it's like a jigsaw puzzle, and when we get the final piece, we'll have it all, or it's like hieroglyphics. When we can read it, we'll know it all. And now, this is speculation. I don't think so. I think the message is, we're not alone, and they're just sending us things that are so loaded with intelligence, not to mention beauty, but intelligence, intelligence, intelligence. In other words, something else is here that's intelligent, because that's all we need to change the world. That will take the underpinning out of this scientific materialistic world that we're living in that's so dangerous to us. And so I think all the whole phenomenon is trying to do is just let us know there is other intelligence for us, to be aware of, whereby the whole world will have to deal with this very radical new way that we're going to be related to the universe.
So why don't they send simpler messages? Why aren't they making it a big game?
Good question. See, you ask good questions. By the way, can we tell people to go to cropcirclemovie.com?
Absolutely.
Place to look for it, cropcirclemovie.com. The trailer will come up first, and you'll get a real, whiff of what's going on with the movie, cropcirclemovie.com. So the question is, why don't they make it simpler for us, right? Why don't they tell us? I mean, if they can deliver that, why don't they just write something out in the field and say, hey, you guys, what you need to do is blah, 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 or here we are, shake our hand, or whatever they would say. Well, why don't they land on the White House lawn? That's your why don't they land on the White House lawn question. And the answer to that, again, we're all speculating. You know, people have been thinking about this for a long time, and I'm aware of the kind of different opinions that people have, and then I have my own. So, and we talk about that in the film as well. So, now, first of all, if all of a sudden they appeared somewhere, we'd probably, on the White House lawn, let's say, we would shoot them, you know? That would seem dangerous. So we would feel like we were being invaded. And also, when you think about a kind of enlightened perspective. An enlightened perspective isn't to hit people over the head. It's to possibly pique their interest, draw them into it, make them use their brains so that when the realization dawns that, oh my gosh, we are not making these, then we know in our being that things are different from the way we believed they were. And that seems to me to be a much more, you know, that's the prime directive from Star Trek. No interference by others who come to save us. No saving. We have to save ourselves. And then we're much more powerful. Then we've really got it. And I like that idea. That appeals to me. I think we're just being slowly introduced into this other reality so that it's very gentle and yet very profound.
Crop circles are not new. They have been popping up for many, many, many years. When was the first one recorded?
Well, the first one that everybody accepts as crop circle, because I have a cave painting from 2000 BC, and it sure looks like a crop circle to me. It's certainly got an astronaut in it. It's very, very trippy cave painting. The first crop circle that there really wouldn't be much argument with was in a little woodcut in a pamphlet that came out in 1678. So if you get into crop circle lore, you'll always find that as the starting point, because the picture clearly is a crop circle, and the little story is about the farmer not wanting to pay to have it harvested, and then he said, let the devil do it, and the picture has a little devil in it, but there's these rings, and they're in different, I mean, you just know it's a crop circle. And then about every 100 years in whatever the literature was of the day, there would be a little flurry that you would go, boy, it sounds like they're talking about crop circles. And in fact, in our film, we take the story from 1890 that started, that appeared in Nature magazine of somebody writing in, a scientist, about what he had discovered in a field. And in fact, there were a couple of issues after that where there were little letters back and forth. But each time, they were just flurries, and nothing continued. It wasn't like people hopped on board and started studying these things, because the phenomenon does seem to respond to interest. And in fact, the 70s, when this current modern phenomenon got its start, what was happening was people, you know, came across them. They started out having this interest in them. And then the interest didn't go away. It just continued. More and more people got attracted to them, and then the phenomenon just delivered more and more. So then we, as of the 70s, we have our full-blown crop circle phenomenon, and before that we just had these little hits from, all those years ago.
And this may be where the law of attraction comes in, because the more people who have interest, the more expansion there is for the knowledge.
Perfect. That makes perfect sense.
Now, these crop circles are not popping up in just one area. They're all over the world, right?
40 countries that have reported crop circles in them, and we see pictures of them online in the particular site that puts all the pictures up, which is cropcircleconnector.com.
And there's a particular area in England that gets the majority of these crop circles, and it's in the vicinity of Stonehenge, isn't it?
Well, it's not really quite next to Stonehenge. We do get some next to Stonehenge, but that's a little bit south of the main area. The main area is in the county of Wiltshire, which is a little north of Stonehenge. Stonehenge may be in Hampshire, because that's the other county that gets this kind of second most of them, right south of Wiltshire. But it is a little concentrated area. And again, you would have to speculate about why have they picked that area. And there's a whole raft of speculation, and we do speak about that in the film also. Why would they pick this area? Why is that the hot spot of the world? And indeed it is, because every year, however many formations arrive for the year, about half of them are in England, and most of those are in that little hot spot. And the rest of them are scattered throughout those 39 other countries. So none of them. Germany has a rather full-blown phenomenon, second most to England, and Netherlands is third most. But aside from that, you know, all the other countries just get, and even those countries don't get very many, they just get enough to, you know, really pay attention to. The other countries just get a little smatter, not every year even.
But there is some significance around Stonehenge in crop circles, right?
Well, there was a very well-known, it was the first fractal ever that appeared outside of Stonehenge, and it caused a lot of a stir because it apparently appeared in daylight. And most of them come over during the night. You wake up in the morning and there they are. So when one appears in daylight, and there it was near a tourist attraction with a road that goes right by it, with other kind of evidence of the fact that it appeared. When I say that, there was nobody saw anything, you know, and there it appeared in daylight. And how do we know it appeared in daylight is that there are private planes that fly over all the time, and they go looking for crop circles, and they're looking down all the time. And a pilot flew over and then flew back in the middle of the day, and there was nothing when he flew over, and there was the formation when he flew back. And then there was some corroboration from a groundskeeper who had walked on that ground apparently prior to the appearance of it in the daytime and wasn't there. And then there are people who saw it from who saw the formation, nothing in the field, and then saw from the road that all of a sudden there it was. So there's some corroboration, and that made a lot of stir. You know, that there was some newspaper stuff about it, and it's still, you know, there's a whole crop circle literature, and on all the literature, that's one of the, oh, look at that one, it appeared during the day next to Stonehenge. So that's why you would have heard Stonehenge particularly. They get some down there, but not very many, actually. Say one other thing, that in terms of Stonehenge, the crop circles typically, one of the characteristics of the phenomenon is that they do land near ancient sites all over. In America, when we get them, we typically get them near Indian burial grounds. And you might say, well, why is that? And that it actually is one of the quote-unquote reasons why it makes sense that this phenomenon is so focused in England, because this little area in England is an ancient sacred space. Stonehenge, Avebury, which is equally famous to Stonehenge when you're over there, we don't know it as much. And there are all sorts of Silbury Hill, which is the oldest man-made pyramid mound in something or other. I don't know, has some uniqueness to it. And that's where the crop circles come. They come near these ancient sites. And they, I would think, are calling us back to this place before we got so crazed with commercialism and materialism and separation and duality, to where we were in this place of wholeness, and where we respected the earth as and ourselves as being part of this sacredness of creation. And I love that thought that, you know, these crop circles are really here to educate us or to inspire us in all sorts of ways to help us. And, you know, it would be very helpful if we returned to this sense of wholeness and our participation in nature rather than conquering nature, which is what we think we're up to these days.
Now, when people go to these crop circles and they actually get inside of the crop circle, they are feeling energy. Let's talk about that.
Yes, a lot of people are very sensitive to energy. In fact, there are times when people will approach a crop circle and they, quote, can't get in. It's too hot. The energy's too strong. They go away. Or they get in and they have to get out really fast. But people are, you know, quite different. I'm not particularly sensitive to energy. My mind is where things go, and I just go into awe. How can this be? What? I'm in the middle of a miracle, you know. But there are people who are very sensitive, and they tingle all over, or they, you know, there are many physical reactions that people have to these things who have that kind of sensitivity.
Yeah, it mentioned in the DVD that sometimes cameras stop working inside the crop circle.
Well, yes, now that's evidence. You know, electronic things fail. We have somebody in the movie who's sitting in a field with her camera in her lap, says, I had brand new batteries when I got in here, and they're drained. And then the farmer who got the first major formation that made World Press told you that in the movie that there was a camera crew, and when they got back to their studio, they discovered they had nothing on their camera but white light, no images. And then when they were in their microphones wouldn't work when they were in the circle, and they just step right outside the circle and the microphones would work. And Somebody else tells about a cell phone, and he went around the whole formation and held the cell phone out over into the standing crop, and it worked, and he pulled it back in, and it didn't work. So there's some kind of electromagnetic disturbance going on or energy going on in the circles that's disrupting all these electronic pieces of equipment. Now, that doesn't happen in the hoax circles, obviously. You know, we do have hoax circles. We don't want to lie about the fact that, you know, not every circle is made by the mysterious force. We have our hoaxers who are drive us crazy. They're like the terrorists of the crop circle world trying to fool us. And when circles get trampled, the evidence kind of goes away, and then you're not sure. And they've gotten better over the years. They've gotten a good geometer or good geometers who make good designs now. They used to make terrible designs. You'd look at one and say, oh, that's hoax. The design is awful. But they've gotten good people making their designs now. So they are a plague, you know.
What's the incentive in making a fake crop circle?
Why? Who knows? This is a huge question. Are they being paid? Maybe. I mean, we do tell you some evidence in the film. I hate to do a spoiler, but we do have some evidence that the Ministry of Defense in England sent out some false information. Why? You know, well, you know, and again, we speculate a lot in the film about that because it would change everything, and the power structure doesn't want to be changed. So conceivably, they are the purveyors of and the funders of the falsehoods going on over there. They certainly were of this one that we caught them at, which was huge, a big perpetration where they tried to steer the world in another direction. So maybe that's who's funding these hoaxes. It's very curious because they don't get any credit for what they do. They can't, or they'd be arrested for trespassing and messing up private. There's a reward out there for people caught making these, and they've never caught anybody except once in a sting. Why do they do this? It's uncomfortable. It's cold. It's damp. A lot of times these circles come in and the hoaxers go out in pouring rainstorms. Why would they do this? I don't know. Very curious.
Because of the intricate designs, you would think that it would take months and months to actually do a crop circle. How long does it take?
We do have eyewitness accounts, and they all say about the same thing. People have been there when circles have formed one way or another, and it goes back actually to the 40s. We have these little eyewitness accounts. I used to collect all the eyewitness accounts when they had a Center for the Study of Crop Circles, which they don't have anymore. And they put out a pamphlet, and the material went back to the 40s, 1940s. And then onward, and I think they had 25 examples in their little booklet, which came out in the early 90s, and now there have been more since then. And they all say about the same thing, the people who just happen to be there when a circle is forming, and they say that they go down in 6 or 7 seconds. The whole thing goes down for 7 seconds. You have some footage floating around all over the net on YouTube of presumably balls of light going around in a circle, and underneath it, this real crop circle forms. And that's a facsimile of the way it occurs. It forms really quickly. It just swirls down. And in our film, we have a little simulation of a swirling down. But in fact, that's a fake. That footage was done in the lab, which people don't mostly know, or the ones who are circulating it on YouTube. We don't have any footage, but we do have all the accounts, and they all say the same thing. They all say 6 or 7 seconds, the whole thing goes down. And then overnight, you know, the English nights they're closer to the north, you know, pole than we are, and their nights are shorter than ours. So depending on which part of the summer, you get 4 or 5 hour dark, you know, hours of darkness during the night, and that's the time they have to make them. And they've gotten good at it. You know, they can, you know, they go in with teams, and they somehow have a coordination, and they're able to press these things down quickly now. I wouldn't say they could do the biggest ones. Like, the biggest one ever was the size of 2 football fields. I mean, picture that, how big that is. There were 409 separate little elements in it, and they were in perfect geometry, and there were no mistakes. They were all circular, the elements of this particular one. And there were no rough edges. Nobody fell down and leaned on the crop so that it would be irregular. They were very... You know, this really could not be done by people. It's beyond people's capacity to do. But some of the fairly decent ones that are smaller than that, people have managed to be able to figure out how to do them in that short time frame.
You mentioned one crop circle in particular that had to do with the planets lining up, and it looked like it was talking about 2012. Do you think that was some kind of a message? Was that a forecast, a prediction? What was that?
Well, again, I think they're mirroring to us that they read us, that there's something that's not us that understands us. And, you know, if they were just sending squiggles, we would say, or beautiful abstract art, we would say, oh, that's nice. But we, you know, we'd still be curious, I guess, about where it all came from. But now, when it's got, I mean, it's something that's tuned into our intelligence here. It knows us. You know, there's a whole added kind of element that makes it, you know, even more intriguing that something is comparable to us intelligence-wise, and as I say, even more so. One of the ways we get that is that they give us information we recognize. No, I'm saying that's a significant event that we're all looking forward to, and, you know, there's such a huge buzz about what that could be all about. But
right.
We're all looking at it. We're all interested in it. And, you know, they're just picking up on something that is of great interest to us. You know, what is going to happen? Is it going to be a disaster? Is it a shift that's actually the most wonderful thing that ever happened to us? Will we get a new beginning, which is what we so desperately need in terms of our perspective on reality? So, yeah, I mean, you know, we all know this is a big date coming up.
Bottom line, what is your personal opinion about these crop circles?
Well, I think that they're really here to help us. I think that, you know, we are so intelligent and so capable of destroying ourselves that we can use some help here to avert that. And I think that that's what's happening, that some other intelligence is in the universe. And, you know, how incredibly vast the universe is.
It sounds like what you're saying is that they are from another planet.
Well, of course, possibly so. They're possibly from our universe, from another universe. We're supposed to be only one of many universes, you know, somewhere. They're coming from something that isn't us. And, you know, if we just take the whole idea of the cosmos or some such, you know, that it's all some vast intelligence out there that has particular intelligences in it, and that, you know, perhaps we are being saved, so to speak, averted from the worst that we could be doing to ourselves, or at least attempting to avert that. I mean, it's just, you know, a logical perspective when you start thinking outside the box.
Is there a spiritual connection to the crop circles?
Well, the whole universe is some giant idea, you might say, that is, you know, what is it but spirit, you know? Matter seems to just be a condensation of consciousness, and consciousness seems to be the elemental, and, you know, consciousness, spirit, something beautiful and profound that, you know, we've named it. We've called it things like consciousness and spirit, but yeah, for sure.
For example, we know that mathematics happens to be a favorite of the angels. So is there a divine connection? Do you think that that angels or God or the divine or some kind of spiritual force is putting these messages for us to see?
Well, again, we're defining. You know, all we can do is look and say, not us. And then beyond that, it's us making labels and definitions. And, you know, people like ourselves think of it all as quite divine, you know. I mean, I'm divine, and you're divine, and then, you know, getting into these kind of non-materialistic things where we're dealing with stuff, you know. Well, we're outside of stuff here. We're into something much more inspirational, you know, and non-material in terms of the kind of stuff we can go put on museum walls or sell or what have you. And, you know, that's just lovely to think in terms of spirit and in terms of divine reality.
Okay, so bottom line, these crop circles are still a huge mystery, and that we can only expand our thinking as to what could be happening with these. But you had mentioned since the 1990s there's been more occurrences of the crop circles. They're speeding up. What does this mean?
In the early years, when it went from simple stuff into more and more complex stuff, we could see that there was a kind of an evolution. They were actually delivering what somebody in the movie calls a curriculum in geometry and number, and it took a while to kind of get all those pieces in to where we had a kind of coherent set of advances in fleshing out. For instance, the first formations were circular only, and then we started to get straight lines. Well, then we had sides, so you had a three-sided figures, and then the next year you had four-sided figures, and then the next year five, and then each year everybody would watch, oh, it's going to be a six this year. And so then we went up to 13, and then everything starts repeating. That was kind of a body of mathematical information that you could say that there was a kind of an evolution to it. At this point, it's another dimension or another delivery of a new pattern group or something. I don't know that you would say that it gets more complicated all the time or more dimensional. I just think it is a full-blown phenomenon now, and you just get variations on loveliness, you know.
Again, it has to do with the amount of interest that we show in order for the expansion or more clarity to occur. So if more and more people now start understanding and wanting answers, then that must speed up. That's the law of attraction.
Well, you know, you keep watching for it, you know, particularly with this 2012 approach. You just keep watching for what are they going to tell us, and the vote's not in yet, you know. Although that one that they gave us that showed us the planetary alignment, you know, showed us that they're tuned into our interest in 2012, and, you know, crop circle season 2010 coming up soon.
So that's interesting. There's a crop circle season.
When the crop circles start coming, which maybe will smatter in April, certainly more in May, it gets rather full-blown in June, and then July is the biggest month, and then August they start tapering off usually. The place to go is cropcircleconnector.com, because they will document every single one that comes in. You'll see a page for it, and then all the people who are interested will contribute information. Oh, what I see in it is this, and you know, a mathematician will tell you one thing, a geologist will tell you another. A historian will tell you something else. People, you know, recognize things from their field, which are the elements of intelligence that have been encoded in these things. Now, that's not my website. The one you want to go to for me is cropcirclemovie.com, where you'll see my trailer and then be able to actually buy my DVD, which also has an hour of great bonus material on it in addition to my feature film. But cropcircleconnector.com is the one that will... I have lots of crop circle information on my website. On that site I gave you, and then that'll direct you to the actual film website where you'll learn a lot about the background of circles and about a lot more about the movie. So that's cropcirclemovie.com. But cropcircleconnector.com is where you're going to be able to see them as they come in during the year and read all about whatever, you know, is figured out about them.
You know, we need to get you back on, say, in August, so that you can tell us what happened during the last season and if they had any significance that we may want to know about.
I'll tell you if indeed they started becoming more, you know, 2012-oriented, whether they're laying down any more guidelines or information, sure, I'd be happy to do that.
Great, that's a date. So tell me, Suzanne, we only have a few moments left. Tell me, what is it that you have personally learned from the crop circles? How did it really change your life?
Well, what I've personally done is turn my life over to it. You should see me. Last night, I think I was 3 a.m. at my computer. I finally said, oh, God, I've got to go to sleep. But I'm just, you know, I can't think of anything more valuable that I can be doing than trying to tune the world into what's going on. Your media is not doing it. Your media is doing a terrible job. Either they ignore them or they run horrible stories about them. that are just misleading. They don't understand what's going on. They like controversy, and they like to be skeptical. So they're not serving you at all. So I'm trying to counter that and be the, you know, source of really valuable energy, information, inspiration, what have you, about this phenomenon. It has overtaken my life, and the importance of it, which, you know, is the thing to really be aware of, because people say, oh, so what? So we're being visited. Big deal. No, 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 it's not a so what at all. It's the biggest news since Galileo took us out of the center of the universe. He took Earth out of the center, and we went from kings and serfs, this domineering kind of idea that we were running on, and eventually got to democracy. Well, this is the next big shift. Now we're not the only intelligence, another arrogant idea. And once we discover we're not, we'll take our place. Things will simplify. We won't be this scientific materialist juggernaut that's so hell-bent on short-term kind of perspectives that we are destroying our each other and the Earth for profit. Well, wow, this is going to lead us to, you know, conceivably destroying humanity. And here we have a phenomenon that can really send us in another direction. And, you know, for people to be skeptical to the point, it's fine to be skeptical. I mean, you don't want to be a sucker. You don't want to believe every, you know, crazy story that somebody tells you. But you also don't want to close your mind to possibilities. And, you know, my parting thought always is, wait, everybody, open your minds. Let it, you know, be curious. Don't have a preconceived idea that nothing outside of your understanding of reality is the way it is. It's a much bigger universe than the one we've identified and have our kind of rules and regulations about and laws about. Wait, there's much more going on, and just be open. You just be curious. That's all that's really necessary. Because then you can really take in whole other understandings, whole other perspectives, and it's our collective consciousness that needs to change. It's not even so important whatever happens to an individual who gets, you know, their mind blown by realizing something astonishing is going on here, but it's the collective understanding that's really most important to be aware of and to contribute to in whatever way we can to become an advocate for other people opening their minds. And, you know, I made my movie to really give people the ammunition to see things differently and to spread the word. And, you know, I tell people, you know, I'm not just in this to make money. In fact, I probably will never make money considering how much it cost me to do this. But I did it as my service. I put everything I had into it. And I urge people to circulate this movie. It changes people. I mean, people tell me when, you know, the people who buy the movie or see the movie or whatever, they'll see it or show it to their skeptical parent or child, actually, or mate or some such. And I so often get reports back, wow, they have totally changed their perspective from seeing this movie. Well, that's so encouraging to me. I know I've made something really powerful that people really can get changed by, and it's the change we need. It's the change over to seeing the miracle of the universe and not being so closed-minded and tight-fisted to where it's all about me, 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 and as much as I can get and destroy anything in my path kind of thing, mm-hmm. which is, you know, somewhat radical kind of, you know, not everybody on Earth is quite so nasty, but there's plenty of nasty. I mean, war? We're still making war? Yeah. How can we do this? We've gotten so good at destruction. Well, we've got to get good at, you know, something much more life-giving than that. And this phenomenon can be the source of that. So please, everybody, you know, keep your minds open. Be curious. Let information in. The more people tune into this, the more possibility we're going to get contact into headlines. It's going, regardless of whether they know who did it, you look at the evidence, or the official world, the media, look at the evidence and say, whoa, just like somebody in the film says, not us. Wow. The minute that gets announced, you know, by the power structure, the world changes, and it's just the change that we need.
Thank you so much, Suzanne, for coming on and telling us and opening up our minds to another dimension. That's absolutely fascinating.
I appreciate the forum. You know, I really do appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, keep up the good work, and we'll see you back here in August with a full report by you of all the wonderful new things that have just been discovered through the Law of Attraction. And don't forget, dear listeners, to tune in next Sunday, March 14th, to hear Ann Taylor with the show, The Conscious Mindset of Multimillionaires. And remember, we're all going to have our genetic imprints totally revised to accept the wealth that we have not been able to obtain. So tune in. Get turned on and let's use the Law of Attraction. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.